The season only just finished a week ago. It is, of course, French football, and joining us to talk all things Ligue 1 today is one of our favourite guests to have on the show, Mr. Jonathan Johnson, freelance French journalist, writes for Sky Sports, for the ESPN's PSG blog as well, and French Football Weekly also. Jonathan, how are you doing, mate? How is Paris now the season's over? Now they've finally got their hands on the league title.
Oh, I'm very well, thanks. Thanks a lot for having me on. It's wet. Wet and not so quiet as you know. You've seen the stories with Monaco. We've had a couple of stories ourselves here with Paris, not least sporting director Leonardo and his 9-month ban.
Yeah, there's plenty going on down in Monaco. First and foremost, I want to have a quick look back at the Ligue 1 season. Maybe it wasn't as gripping towards the end as we saw with Montpellier's title win 12 months ago. But this year in French football, have you seen that growth, that development that we've seen in the French game year after year? Is it getting more competitive with the other big leagues around Europe?
I think Ligue 1 has been a competitive league for a long time, but it's competitive when you look at the number of different champions it's had. You know, 6 different winners in the last 6 seasons, and I think that tells you all you need to know about how competitive the league is, especially at the top. This year was a little different to normal years. The title race didn't go down to the final day, and the battle to avoid relegation, with the exception of one position, also didn't go down to the last day. Normally, you've got about eight or so teams battling to avoid the drop, and like 1 or 2, maybe even 3 teams battling for the title. Oh, we had the race for third place, which Lyon eventually won and got Champions League qualification. But I think for me, the most impressive thing about the second half of the season was that despite the exodus of talent that we had in January, people were very worried about, you know, the likes of Newcastle coming in and pillaging all of the young French talent that was sort of semi-available on the market in the winter transfer window. And Ligue 1 has already replaced those talented players with new players that have been emerging throughout the course of the season. And it's a very exciting next year to look forward to, especially now with Monaco returning to the league.
We still had an exciting finish in terms of the Europa League places. Saint-Etienne drawing with Lille on the last day of the season to ensure they just about made it into Europe this year. Are you slightly disappointed, though, with the way that Saint-Etienne have finished this season? Because this was a side that we thought were on a run to make the Champions League spot and pip Lyon to the post for third place.
Well, I think the thing is with Saint-Etienne, once they won the League Cup, then they knew that they were assured of European football. And I think maybe they got a little complacent there, slightly too complacent. But I also don't think that many people anticipated that Nice would maintain their good form up until the end of the season. I mean, for Claude Puel to turn a team that finished 13th last season, however, that was 13th avoiding relegation on the last day of the campaign, to fourth place and finishing just 3 points behind Champions League qualification, is an absolutely phenomenal achievement. I'm amazed that he didn't get any real recognition this season for the work that he's done, because it's a minor miracle. Christophe Galtier has done fantastically well with Saint-Etienne. They've played very well this season. They just haven't been consistent enough to justify getting that Champions League place. And the problem is Lyon also haven't particularly been that impressive over the course of the whole season. But when you have that much quality in your team, you know it's going to be very hard for you to not finish sort of in the top 3 to 5 places. And Lyon were slightly more consistent than Saint-Etienne and Lille and Nice. I mean, Lille unfortunately were made to pay for a poor start to the season. I'm sure if they picked up more points earlier on in the campaign, they would have been up there and probably would have finished third ahead of Lyon.
It was that kind of a poor start to the season that cost Lille in the end. In terms of Lyon and Marseille, both were sides that midway through the season we were kind of saying, can they run PSG right to the wire, and weren't able to in the end. You talk about stars leaving French football. How important is it for these two sides to make a stand and to ensure that Ligue 1 keeps that competitiveness by keeping their star players and building on the squads that they've got?
Yeah, I think it's massively important. I mean, one of the big concerns that everybody has with regards to Marseille is that the PSG-Marseille rivalry is being diluted. The fact that Marseille have managed to persuade Mathieu Valbuena, who was absolutely sensational this season for them, to stay with Champions League football on offer, that's a massive boost for them, the same as it would be a massive boost if André Ayew ends up staying there as well. The problem with Lyon is that their president, Jean-Michel Aulas, wants to trim the wage bill, which is understandable, given that they just can't be as competitive as they used to. They can't expect to win the title because they just don't have the same dominance that they used to enjoy. But I think there's a difference between trimming the wage bill and getting rid of some of your star players. And for example, Clément Grenier has been linked with Arsenal recently. Grenier has been an absolute revelation for Lyon this season. In my opinion, it's better for them to let go of the likes of Anthony Reveillère, who's going to leave the club. Perhaps even Lisandro Lopez, who, although is a fantastically talented striker, is not the same player that we saw when he first arrived in France. And that way they can, you know, reinvest the massive wages that those two players were earning, and, you know, perhaps bump up the pay of someone like Clément Grenier, but most importantly, ensure that talent of his caliber stays within the country.
The figure that's been thrown around Grenier's head is £31 million it would cost to take him away from Lyon. Do you think Lyon are likely to come down from that at all? Again, talking about making a stand, or will they hold out to ensure that they get round about £30 million?
I mean, I cannot see how they're going to get £30 million for a player whose contract expires next summer. You know, Greg Grenier, if he really wants to move away, you know, he could force a transfer, or he could even, you know, just kick it, dig his heels in and leave on a free next summer and just play one more season at Lyon. The club want to extend his contract. The problem is, Aulas is so desperate to trim the wage bill and get Lyon balancing the books that I don't think he realizes the bad effects that it has on some of the potential talent in the team. Because what not many people will know about Grenier is that he was actually on the verge of being sent to Nice as part of a transfer deal for Fabien Monzon, the left back, who's now been loaned back to I think he's back in Argentina at the moment, or Brazil. And, you know, he was on the verge of being kicked out of that Lyon team. Remy Gard had to fight tooth and nail to be able to keep him, and he's been absolutely vindicated with Grenier's form. But that treatment of Grenier is now going to come back and bite Aulas, because he's going to sit down at the negotiation table with a fantastic young prodigy who's, you know, going to try and get the absolute best deal that he can just to spite Aulas for not thinking he was good enough in the first place.
We saw Olivier Giroud obviously move from Montpellier to Arsenal last season, and he's had a solid but not spectacular campaign as we saw him play, not as spectacular as we saw him play for Montpellier the year before. Can Grenier go anywhere in Europe and be an immediate star as he has been at Lyon, or do we see Grenier needing time to adjust elsewhere, as a lot of players do when they leave French football?
I think Grenier would be able to go abroad and go to most clubs and have an impact, but I like to think that when a player has that sort of that immediate impact on a team as Grenier has had this season, that it's better for them, and they will grow more if they are given the chance to, you know, have a second season, make sure that they, you know, are more consistent than just sort of having one good season, moving to a big team, not really playing as much first team football as you would have done, and then, you know, losing valuable time for development. I'm not saying that Grenier has to renew his contract at Lyon, but I also just think it would be a big risk for him to go and chase a big move right now when the big move will inevitably come anyway. It's just a question of, you know, where he goes and when he goes. I think that Arsenal will be a good move for him. I think it would suit him, but I'm not sure that he would have as big an impact if he moved this summer as he would if he moved next summer with another season of experience under his belt with Lyon.
Now, we've done our best not to talk about the two big spenders or likely big spenders in French football this summer, but we do have to mention PSG and Monaco. With the League Championship won this year for PSG, There's been all this talk of Ancelotti going to Madrid, and now that deal is stalling. How is that linked in any way, shape or form to this Leonardo ban that's been placed on the director of football at PSG for 9 months? And take us through what's led up, what's the reasoning behind this 9 month ban for a barge on a referee in the tunnel?
Okay, well, basically a couple of weeks before the end of the season, PSG were playing Valenciennes at home. It was a controversial game. It finished 1-1. The referee on the day, Alexandre Castro, sent off Thiago Silva for protesting a couple of bookings in the first half of that match. And to make his point to the referee, he put his arm on, his hand on him, on his arm, to speak to him, and the referee immediately gave him a red card. Leonardo was incensed about this, went to challenge the referee about it after the game, barged into him on the way to the dressing room. This was caught on camera. A big furore was made about it, and PSG suspended Leonardo in the immediate aftermath of the incident. So he wasn't allowed in sort of any of the technical areas for the remainder of the season. And the disciplinary hearing from the league was yesterday, and they found him guilty of deliberately shoving the referee, and they gave him a 9 month ban. And now the impact that that has on Ancelotti's position is this: PSG want Arsene Wenger as their coach, but they know that they can't have him now. They can only have him at the end of next season at the earliest. This is assuming he doesn't sign a new contract with Arsenal and does in fact leave at the end of his current deal. But the options that PSG are left with after Ancelotti came out and told the club that he wants to leave is either to find a different replacement to Wenger and bring them in now, or to go with an interim replacement, or to try and keep Ancelotti. Obviously, keeping Ancelotti is the best option for them because it doesn't risk any of the players getting unsettled and wanting to leave the club. But Ancelotti seems quite dead set on the fact that he wants to leave Paris. So that means that PSG are now basically looking for an interim coach to come in until they can approach or make an official approach for Wenger. The ideal scenario for PSG would have been if Ancelotti was to finally go and Real Madrid pay the compensation fee to pay up the last year of his contract, they would put Leonardo on the bench to coach the team for next season. However, there's a number of players in the team that would be unhappy with that. And now with this ban, it's a non-starter because Leonardo is banned from all technical areas for the next 8 months.
And it must be a shame for PSG as well that Mr. Interim himself, Rafa Benitez, has joined Napoli. We need to obviously talk about Monaco as well. You were saying before we came on the show today that we are literally potentially seconds away from having the deal confirmed that Falcao will be a Monaco player next season. How much of this is a way for maybe other clubs to try and get their hands on him? Real Madrid's been kind of linked with maybe a deal where they pick up Falcao after a year with Monaco. And how much of this is similar to the PSG project that they made with Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Monaco making their same stance and building a team around him for the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's first and foremost, it'd be a fantastic deal for Monaco. It'd be a fantastic move for French football. I think the interest in Ligue 1 has skyrocketed in recent weeks when people realise that there's a team in France that's not PSG who are capable of bringing Falcao to France. And there's so many questions now being asked about them. Is this deal sort of going to help other clubs get hold of Falcao in the future? It remains to be seen. There's a lot of rumours about whether Real Madrid have a pre-agreement with Monaco, that there will be a clause in the contract that says that Real Madrid can pick him up after 6 months to a year. We will only find that out in 6 months to a year if Falcao does join Monaco. The club are denying that there's a clause, but the Spanish media are pretty certain the clause will exist in that contract that will allow Falcao to move to Real Madrid. And I guess it makes sense in a way to go to a club that can pay his wages, that could pay the minimum fee release clause that gets him out of third-party ownership. There's no way to say this because there's no such thing really as loyalty in football these days, but it's almost more respectful to the Atletico Madrid fans to not go directly to Real Madrid as opposed to going via Monaco. But with so many teams able to pay Falcao's salary, you'd imagine that Monaco must have convinced him that the project was worth putting his name to, and there is a big chance that he will be there, as Ibrahimovic will be there at PSG next season to be part of the project long term.
Do you think bringing him in this early in the summer is an important factor for Monaco to use Falcao as a magnet for other transfer prospects in the summer?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, I think Monaco have demonstrated their intent already with the signings of James Rodriguez, Jaume Tino, Ricardo Carvalho, all of them respected players, okay, albeit at different stages of their careers. But, they have that certain reputation. But Falcao, blows nearly any footballer in the current transfer market out of the water. I mean, it's just such a massive name and a huge coup for Monaco. I mean, not only does it open the door to nearly any other transfer target that they might want to sign, but it also opens French football up to a bigger audience. More people are now going to be wanting to know how Monaco are going to do next season. They're going to be on the lookout for their early games during the season to see who their fixtures are. I mean, the match that everybody is now going to be waiting to see is going to be the Clasico, as it's already being dubbed, between PSG and Monaco.
I like that. I definitely like that, Jonathan. The Clasico. I'm sure we'll all be switching on our televisions to ensure we can watch that one. Just finally, though, there is. You say the Clasico, and how do you see this being as an impact for French football? It could potentially not. It could turn into a two-horse race, and especially with this Monaco side, a side that I think I read somewhere today, it has a lower average attendance for last season, at least, than Luton Town.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it is a very, very strange situation. Monaco play in a very small stadium, the 18,500 capacity Stade Louis-II that hosts the UEFA Super Cup. And, on an average league or cup match, they'll only get sort of 3,000 to 4,000 if they're lucky. There's no hardcore fan base there. So it's going to be a very strange experience for these players like Rodriguez, like Moutinho, like Falcao to be playing in front of, three, four men and a dog. It's going to be a real eye opener. But I mean, I don't think it's going to be difficult for them to bring in interested fans in the long term. There is a widespread following of Monaco throughout France. It's just that there isn't a large following of them in Monaco, and that's not down to the fact that they're not a well-supported side. It's just the fact that they are a side based in an area that doesn't really have a big population. There's a lot of people living there in the summer when the weather's fantastic, but there's just not very many people living there during the winter. So it's going to be interesting to see how these transfers will now affect Monaco's attendances, because obviously Ligue 1 depends on Monaco and PSG succeeding. So in that respect, yes, it might become a bit of a two-horse title race, but the assumption that so many people make with French football is that you can buy all the talent you want and you will immediately dominate the league. PSG have bought all the talent they wanted in the last two seasons and they haven't dominated the league as of yet. It's a very, very difficult league to crack. It's very competitive. And to think that Monaco will just win the league by signing Falcao, Jaume Tino, and Rodriguez, it's not going to happen. This team's going to take time to gel, and they will underestimate other teams. They will underestimate the fighting spirit of some of the smaller sides. Every team does that. Lyon did that in their heyday. PSG do it now, and Monaco will do it as of next season, I'm sure.
It's going to be a compelling league to follow, not just next season when it all kicks off, but of course in the summer as well, with Monaco and PSG throwing their dollars and dollars at the transfer market. Jonathan, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, mate, once again. Thank you so much for joining us today and coming on Friday's edition. I'm sure you're looking forward to the weekend and a bit of summertime off, mate. Enjoy your downtime, and we hope to catch up with you in the summer later on.
Thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it. Take care.
You too. Jonathan Johnson there joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things French football. You can follow John at John_Legossip, capital J, capital L, capital G, gossip with two S's. John Johnson, writer for French Football Weekly as well as ESPN's PSG blog and, of course, Legossip for Sky Sports. French football has a new name, a new powerhouse, and it is Monaco. It'll be interesting to see what happens. That Falcao deal set to go through today. PSG, of course, of Leonardo picking up this 9-month ban.